Pacifico, Bill Henry.
Hello, welcome back here, new hour of the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and online at philhenryshow.com. If your mobile phone is active tonight, you might try a little, might try to give us a look on your mobile, because we are now, the Phil Henry Show is now mobile, baby. So you can see us on your mobile device, whether it's an Android, iPhone, what have you. You can also check us out on, of course, your iPad. You can see us on your desktop. Just about anywhere, man. We've got six different streams cranking. And it was quite an interesting procedure. It was quite an interesting little journey that we took.
And you almost lost your mind.
Well, yeah, you know, and I gave the guys hell. But again, I want to, on the air, give credit to Paul Guest. I want to give credit to Alex Cohen. I want to give credit to John Brennan. I want to give credit to Roddy Swearingen. I want to give credit to Darren McAfee. I want to give credit to Aaron Parker. I want to give credit to me. I want to give credit to you. I want to give credit. I'd like some credit at Ted's of Beverly Hills, but I guess that... that's right. I guess we won't get that. Anyway, a lot of people made it happen. Thank you, and thanks for the Academy Award, or what have you. Now, what is this, man? The second season of TNT's Dallas... The second season of TNT's Dallas do-over has arrived, and much like the upcoming final season of Breaking Bad, it's sparking mixed emotions. On the one hand, quote, we can't wait to see J.R. Ewing and Walter White, two primetime TV icons, doing what they do best, which is, of course, be bad. At the same time, their return spell the beginning of the end for both men, who are about to get their long-time-coming come-up-and-sizzes. We still don't have much of a clue what will become of Walt, though everyone involved with Breaking Bad has assured us throughout the series run that it won't end happily for him. It can't. It can't end happily for him. It would be an absolute, they'd pass a law if it ended happily for a guy that is involved in the drug trade, the manufacture, the production of, and the sale of. So that much is for sure. Now, as for old J.R. Ewing, quote, we may not know the specifics yet, but we know that he'll ride off into that big oil rig in the sky midway through this second season, and just the thought of it is enough to make this lifelong Dallas and Larry Hagman fan sniffle. Now, wait a minute. Larry Hagman did in real life die, and that's why that writer is sniffling. But the fact is, both J.R. Ewing and Walter White, both of them are scumbags. They both deserve, the characters deserve to die.
Well, now I've heard everything. You have just... And who keeps you in check, Phil?
Keeps me in check for what?
Larry Hagman was one classy man, a wonderful man, a sweet man, and he deserves to die.
I wasn't talking about Larry Hagman.
Wasn't talking about Larry Hagman, talking about the character.
You were talking about Larry Hagman's character, weren't you?
Yes, I was talking about J.R. Ewing. That character deserves to die.
Well, no. You mean Larry Hagman.
No, I do not, Margaret. Why the hell would you say something like that?
Well, why are you bringing up J.R. Ewing anyway?
Because it happens to be a story. The Dallas season 2 premiere, they're giving us a review on this baby.
Huh? Huh?
Just like Walter White is going to croak, J.R. Ewing's going to croak. And it's ironic in the case of I suppose... Larry Hagman playing that character and the great career he had. What a terrible thing to say, that he deserves it.
You said that.
No, I didn't. I didn't say that about Larry Hagman at all. I said about the character. The character.
You're very, very slippery, Phil. You know, one of these days.
Excuse me. Sorry.
What's that supposed to mean?
That's a sneeze.
Yeah, but what is it supposed to mean?
Doesn't mean nothing, but...
Hold on. You shut up. You sneezed, and I felt some of the spray. What does that mean?
Oh, come on, Margaret.
Well.
Get his cold and flu season, Mr. Henry.
When you sneeze, do you mind terribly if you cover your mouth and nose because the spray hit me full in the face?
No, it did not. I'm sitting here covering my mouth.
No, you didn't. You sneezed, and there was a beat of about 3, Bud, would you say?
I don't know. I did feel some residual spray.
Boy, you guys, you know... I apologize. Do you have to make it this public?
No, there were you sneezed and 1, 2, 3, full in the face.
Yeah, that's what I mean about face full.
No, that's not what you meant about... Would you have him stop doing that?
Look, Margaret, I'm not going to keep policing this guy for you if you're going to turn around and pay me back by knifing me in the back.
How? Oh, my God, are you paranoid? How did I knife you in the back?
That I sneeze, and then you get a face full, you know, one, two, three.
I'm just saying you timed it.
I've never in my life learned how to time that.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah, thank you.
It's not like you're the one that's wasting time.
No, you're the... I wouldn't know how to time that. I wouldn't know how to sneeze. One, two, three.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to...
Go to the bathroom?
No.
Have a cigarette?
No.
Look for a tampon.
How dare you?
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right, so, you know, the best of luck to all of you cats there on Dallas. But, hey, you know what? Some, you know, all of the greats, sooner or later, out they go. Check this out. A lawsuit of a Southern California Christian school against two former teachers who refused to provide proof of their faith could pose one of the first court tests of a U.S. Supreme Court ruling on religious freedom. A legal expert said last year's ruling that religious workers can't sue for job discrimination never specified whether that includes teachers at religious schools. The court refused to specify in that ruling what constituted a religious worker, leaving teachers uncertain of their status under the law. Oh, I know this place, man.
Where is it?
Calvary Chapel in Thousand Oaks. I know this school, this church is like right next door to where my kids went to high school. Calvary Chapel of Thousand Oaks purchased Little Oaks School in 2009. Leaders told employees last year that they would need to provide a statement of faith and a reference from a pastor to renew their contracts. The two teachers lost their jobs after refusing to provide the documents. After they threatened litigation, school leaders filed their own lawsuit in federal court. Aha!
So that, what's that called, a preemptive?
That's a... Where'd you get a word like that?
I read about words, man. You don't.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a preemptive lawsuit. They most likely were anticipating that the teachers would sue them for job discrimination, and they turned around and sued them for... I don't know what they were suing them for. But they're suing them for suing them, you know.
I'm back.
You got the tampon?
Do you have to make that announcement? I'd like to weigh in on this. Number one, my feeling is this. Oh, forget it. I'm still looking for one.
You know, Margaret, if you're going to come in here, sit down.
Never mind.
I don't know, bud, but I think the school...
I know what I wanted to say.
Yes?
Well, if you're going to be that way about it...
You come on, either sit down or leave.
Don't yell at me like I'm... Don't yell at me like I'm him.
She pointed at you, bud.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so that's that story. That'll be really groovy. Here's one that's like really messed up, sad, tragic, and completely, it's just wrecked. Police found a doctor dead from multiple gunshot wounds Monday in an examination room of a Southern California medical office and took a suspect into custody in the same room. Police received reports at 2:45 in the afternoon of 6 or 7 shots fired at the medical office near Hogue Hospital in Orange County, Newport Beach. According to Newport Beach police, officers responding found a man dead from multiple gunshot wounds to the upper torso in a patient examination room on the building's second floor. They took into custody another man in the room. The victim was a doctor, deputy chief. This is not the victim, by the way. This was the deputy chief of the medical examiner's office, David McGill, talking to the LA Times. I just, you know... Don't want any member of his family getting freaked out. The victim was a doctor, according to this deputy chief. The doctor's name and relationship to the gunman weren't immediately clear.
What do you think happened? Like, was he an abortion doctor?
No, he wasn't an abortion doctor. It says here that he was a urologist. Witnesses told several media outlets the doctor was a urologist, and the floor of the shooting includes the offices for Orange Coast Urology, which lists 3 doctors on its staff. An outgoing message at the clinic said the office was closed. Becky Calderwood said she works 2 doors down from the officer where the shooting took from the office where the shooting took place, and said the gunman was a patient. I sit right at the front desk. I would have caught the first bullet. Why is that?
Well, I don't know. She probably...
Why would she say I sit right at the front desk? She said she works two doors down from the officer where the shooting, from the office where the shooting took place, and the gunman was a patient. No one else was injured or targeted, Lowe said. It does appear to be an isolated incident. Detectives were interviewing employees.
Wait just a minute. Isn't that where you went to jail?
Why would you bring something like that up?
Because it's newsworthy. Weren't you in jail down there?
Well, what, Mr. Andrew?
What do you got to talk about that for 40 years ago? 40 plus years ago? Bringing something like that up.
I think your audience has the right... The public has a right to know.
Oh, the public has a right to know.
Don't be sarcastic, Phil. That's a big yes, everybody.
Excuse me. I was a kid, okay? I went into the Newport Beach jail for a night because we were drinking. And it wasn't because I was drunk. It was because I was underage and I had beer, and that's it.
Yeah, but you went to jail. That must mean it was very serious.
They don't even have... You know that I... What, you know something? I think that's really rotten, Margaret. I ought to find out what you've been arrested for.
You know something? That's none of your business.
Oh, it's none of my business. It's none of my business. If I find out what you've been arrested for, will it be my business then?
No, it will not be. And I'd like to remind you I have a lawyer for a husband.
I don't care. Doesn't matter to me.
Oh, baby, you really want $300 worth. All right, get him on the phone.
Oh, come on, Mr.
Get my husband on the phone.
All right, yeah, get Frank on the phone. I'd love to hear what he's going to... What are you going to talk him into doing now? Do we have to break, Dan? I think we do, right? Okay, let's take a break. You get him on the line.
What is this? What am I going to talk him into doing? He's his own man.
All right, get Frank on the line. I can't wait for this. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. You want to bring up me?
Truth,
I'll bring up you.
He's our
you
bitch.
You're bringing up.
The Phil Hendry Show.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, where we are mobile tonight for the first time on your iPhone, your iPad, no matter what your mobile device, you can see us live streaming our Phil TV in HD. I don't know if it's like HD on your mobile phone or not. Is that technically?
Yeah, I think so. I think it looks cool like it is.
You can't call it HD unless it technically is. That's my understanding, at least.
All right, look, we have on the phone here Frank Gray, Margaret's husband. He's also an entertainment attorney. And, Frank, how you doing tonight?
Hey, young man, I'm better than Custer. How you doing?
Good, good. And, Frank, Margaret's here. Margaret, would you like to?
Yeah, Frank, Phil wanted to ask me, have I ever been arrested? And I told him that he has a lot of guts asking a question like that.
I'll say.
Yeah, and I said, boy... I said to him, boy, you really want $300 worth, don't you? And he just grinned like that Scorpio did in that movie, or like perhaps the, Brad Pitt did in Californication, or any number of serial murderer films, you know, Dexter and so forth.
So what's the point here?
I beg your pardon, Frank. The point is that no way does he find... He's my life is my business.
Well, all right. She wants to know whether or not you've been arrested. I don't think that's something, Margaret, that you have to be ashamed of. You and I have chuckled over it.
I'd rather that you not.
Well, it's a matter of public record, dear, and if she wants to know, what am I going to...
Well, now wait a minute. Hold on. I'm saying to you as your wife, I don't want you to say anything, Frank.
I have no choice, Margaret. If she's asking if you've ever been arrested, and it's part of public record, then I have to tell her.
You know something, Frank? Go ahead. I don't ask me if I care.
All right. Well, what do you want to know, Phil?
I want to know, has Margaret ever been arrested for something?
Yes, he was arrested for, he was arrested when he was dancing. That was in West Hollywood. Right after he came out here. And he got arrested along with the, I guess, it was a crew of about seven or eight other dancers at the La-Di-Da in West Hollywood.
The La-Di-Da was a very classy dance place. We were encouraged to... Can I just say this, Phil?
Go ahead.
We were encouraged to interact with the clients, and in comes this L.A. County sheriff who thinks he's a real big wind. And what was that sheriff's name, Frank?
I don't remember what her name was, but she thought she was the reincarnation of that Walking Tall. What was her name in the Walking Tall? You remember it, Phil?
No, I don't.
Bo Svenson was her name. She was the actor, and same thing with this. But Margaret got arrested for, I'm going to have to say it, honey, he got arrested for lewd and lascivious behavior. Apparently, he pulled the G-string.
Frank, I'll do it. Thank you very much. I was there with a client who was a very good and wonderful client. He and I had business interactions. His name was Bob Weringer. And Bob and I transacted business. I don't know.
Well, yeah, Bob and you transacted business, and on her end, it was, I think, it was a $50 bill, and on your end, it was a G-string that went well below mid-thigh. I mean, let's be honest. And
why do you have to say this?
Because, Margaret, you were there talking about me going to jail, so you yanked your G-string down mid-thigh.
So you yanked your G-string down mid-thigh?
Well, look, Margaret, you did, and this guy Weringer, the reason why the two of you and the reason why the club got raided is when you pulled the G-string all the way down. You might as well have just pulled your pants off for all the good that it was. And she let out a yelp of delight, and that alerted the what happened, Frank. He didn't, what, Phil, I'm, am I Frank?
And yeah, you're Frank.
What happened, Phil, was that, he didn't know that she was an undercover cop. And
I didn't know that this guy, Weringer...
Yeah, Weringer was an undercover cop, and she had been, and she'd been coming in regularly for 3 months, slipping these 20s into his you-know-what, and he's all excited.
Were you guys dating at the time?
I didn't think we were dating at the time, and then he told me, yes, we were.
Well, Frank, you and I had just started dating.
Meanwhile, you are taking 20s and hiding them up you know where, right?
Oh, my God. I can't believe...
Well, isn't that what was the case? And then another thing, Phil.
All right, we've heard enough. Thank you very much, Frank Ray. Thank you.
Wait a minute.
Margaret, don't reach over and hang up the phone.
That's exactly what I did.
Well, now we know.
Yeah, now we know all about it and everything.
Oh, big...
You said you didn't care. So you got popped for lewd and lascivious as a dancer, huh?
Don't scrunch your face up like you're smelling something rank. My God, haven't you? I thought you said you...
Margaret, you know, if you keep bringing stuff out of my life, you know, that's the last time I'm going to tell you anything.
You dated a girl. Well, you told me that you dated a girl in a pink, you know.
A girl in a what?
You said you dated a girl that had worked in a peep show.
I think she said peep show.
Oh, really? Is that what she said? Thank you very much, bud.
See, I'm trying to protect you, Phil.
No, you're not protecting me. You're not protecting me at all. Going, everybody's going to be listening extra hard. You still don't get it.
Damn, it's great. I'll turn up the radio and hear everything.
Oh, that's a lot. That's an old wives' tale.
Old wives' tale? Turning the radio up? And your husband, Frank, by the way, had no problem at all telling us all about it. Yanked your G-string down.
Well, you went out with a girl.
Yeah, in a peep show.
Yes, how'd you meet her?
Yeah, but when'd you meet her? You need a change for the dollar? Ow!
Yeah, yeah.
That hurt.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, baby. Okay, so are we even here, you know?
Bill, that was very cruel of you.
No, it was cruel of you. I'm reading a story about Newport Beach. Next thing I know, I got you saying, isn't it where you went to jail?
Well, you did.
All right, fine. Well, guess what? You got busted for lewd and lascivious behavior. What was the name of this club?
It was a wonderful... It was the La-Di-Da. You never been there?
No, I've never been to the La-Di-Da. Does it exist?
Yes, it existed. The La-Di-Da, well...
The La-Di-Da? Sounds like a... I don't know.
Sounds like a what? Oh, get a load of you. Yes, they did have seat covers. Thank you. God.
I didn't say anything. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry show. Yeah, Frank?
Oh, he's upset because, they didn't have...
Phil Hendry.
Well, this is a plug. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here and philhendryshow.com. On Phil TV and HD right now, we're showing a picture of the booby trap in Orlando. The reason why I'm showing this is because this was a legendary strip joint when I started in radio back in the early 70s in Orlando, Florida. That's where I started my radio career. And
I thought you said you come from California.
I do come from California.
Got them travel, man.
I come from California. I started my radio career in Florida. What is with you, anyway?
Oh.
Anyway, I was down there. I was working construction. I got into radio. So the reason why I'm showing this, Margaret, is not anything, but, I remember when this place was raided. This place was raided, and the dancers, and I don't know, the booby trap in Orlando, you can see how it's...
I think that's vulgar. Both of the buildings are shaped just like a woman's...
Never mind.
Well, they are.
All right. But this joint got raided, and the funny story about this is a buddy of mine was watching TV one night in Orlando, and he saw, on the news, well, the booby trap raided or something like that, and he saw this line of strippers being led into a paddy wagon, and in that group, he saw his ex-wife.
And why is that funny?
It just is. I mean, are you kidding?
Pretty funny.
I don't get it.
Well, you know what, Margaret? Just take my word for this as a man. It was pretty funny. But nonetheless, it was a drag. I don't know.
Well, did he bail her out?
I don't know. No, I don't think he did. It's been years, I mean, what is he going to do? There she is on TV, for crying out loud. So you're lucky that didn't happen to you. Oh, wait, it did.
Yes, it did. All of us. We got seven dancers. We got run in that night. And this guy, Swearinger, oh, man. I said to him, I'd like all of my money back.
Wait a minute, what do you mean all your money back?
I wanted my money back.
What do you mean you wanted your money back?
Because I paid him, first of all.
Did you have to pay guys to ask you to dance for them?
Yes, at the very beginning. Most girls do.
What?
Get you out of your mind.
No, I'm not out of my mind. You're unaware of that.
No, I'm not aware of that.
Well, I'm sorry. You must not be the kind of guy that a woman would ask to pay her or for her to pay you, so you pay...
Are you trying to tell me...
Well, just let it go. Since you're not one of the guys, I don't want to embarrass you.
Wait. Hold on. I don't care. I could care less. You're telling me that you paid this guy Wehringer to pay you...
Yes, so you don't get a reputation... As a real dog, you have to get them to pay you, or you pay them to get them to pay you. And so I wanted my money back because there was a dip,
So you paid him, but what he paid you back wasn't as much?
No, I paid him like $50, so he'd ask me to dance, and he'd only give me 20. And I kept saying to him, Wehringer, you are one dirty, filthy... No, we never did square it. What are you looking at?
Margaret, that's the most asinine story I've ever heard in my life. I'm having a very difficult time believing that. A very difficult time.
Why would I make it up?
That's a good point. Why would you make it up?
I guess it's true, then.
You paid him $50, so he'd pay you 20.
I didn't work it out that way. You can get Frank back on the line. He knows more about it.
Why would he know more about it?
Because he was my manager, okay? There, I said it.
This is getting better all the time.
No, it's not.
Get him back on the phone.
Hey, Mr. Gray? Mr. Gray? Mr. Gray. Gray. Is this Mr. Gray?
What is with you, bud? Call a guy up.
I got the wrong number. Hold on.
Gray. G-R-E-Y, bud.
Hey, hold on. Hold on. I got it. Hi. Hi. How you doing? Yeah. Hey. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Hey, look. Huh? Yeah. That's great. Look, I wanted to, what? No. No, I don't have any coupons.
What do you mean coupons?
It's a barbecue place.
Will you get the phone number of the man? Why would he be at a barbecue place?
Well, that's a good point.
Don't you have our number?
That's a good point.
Well, you're nuts. Yeah, Mr. Gray? Hi, Bud Dickman. And Phil wants... Yeah.
Hey, Frank?
Hey, how you doing, young man?
Good. Margaret's now saying that...
I'll do it. Thank you very much. Frank, hi, honey.
Ah, Margaret.
Listen, you remember when I was dancing at the La-Di-Da and Wehringer would pay me... I would pay Wehringer...
No. You paid Wehringer, so Wehringer would pay you. And as I recall, you took it right straight up the old dirt road on that deal. I gotta tell
you. Would you please watch your language?
Nobody knows. Well, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yes, I do. But my question was, remember you were managing me then?
Yeah, we had an arrangement at that time, Phil, that I would manage him, and he would... It wasn't prostitution. It was strictly on the up-and-up. It was for dancing, and I wanted to see him... I wanted to see him hit the heights as one of the great strippers, because I'll tell you something, and I don't think I'm talking out of school, Margaret. Phil... you never saw Margaret dance, did you?
No, I didn't.
I'm telling you, if you see him nude, you've never... It's fantastic. I mean, he is gorgeous, and he's got big boobs. So, when he was younger. Okay, now, of course, things are beginning to go, and...
All right, Frank, thank you very much, but the point is what? The point... What was I asking him for?
The fact that he was your manager.
Yes, you managed me, and didn't I have a high-paying... dance job.
Yeah, it was a fraternity party.
No.
A fraternity party?
Yeah, that's the highest paying job you've got.
No, I didn't. I thought I did. Didn't I dance in that review off the strip in Vegas?
No, the biggest job that I was able to book for you was the fraternity house at USC. I'm sorry, honey, and the guys called up and they said, who do you... I said, I got one here. I said, he is gorgeous. And they said, who? I said, the dancer. And they said, well, we'll roll the dice if you say there's a dude. I didn't know. And
Wait. You were talking to these guys.
Frank talked to them with the gender confusion, yeah.
Yeah, they were the stupidest bunch of guys. I said, look, I got a dancer right now. He's got a great ass. And they said, who does? I said, he does. And they called me some foul, vulgar names, but they said, well, we'll bite, and I think Margaret made that night about $300 plus tips. I think it came to about $450.
Okay, Frank, you can hang up now.
Well, wait a minute. I'm just getting warmed up. Then another time.
Embarrassing, isn't it?
No, it's not embarrassing. Frank is deranged. He has dementia from syphilis, as you can tell. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a blithering imbecile, and for you to take anything he says as Bible or gospel or however it's said, you must be a gibbering, blithering moron yourself. Not just a moron, but a gibbering, blithering, salivating one.
In other words, I'm a moron, if I believe Frank.
Yes.
Well, you admitted that, yes, you were arrested. You admitted and said that Frank was your manager. You guys paid some cop... so the cop would pay you, and you finally get arrested by him. So it sounds to me like it was a real disastrous career.
It was not a disaster. Frank is a gibbering lunatic. When he says the biggest gig I got was a frat house at USC, he's lying. And that's what those that are afflicted by this advanced dementia, that's what they do. They lie, they cheat, they steal.
Mark?
Never mind.
Well, all right. I mean, look, I'm not knocking it, because Frank was saying you were really gorgeous as a young woman.
Let me tell you something. Well, I'd take my bra off, right?
No.
I would if it weren't for that drooling idiot looking at me.
All right, well, here's the thing.
Yes, what is the thing, Phil?
No, what's the thing? Yeah, what's the thing?
The thing is this. My right hand goes through your head. How's that, bud? You like that?
No.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was going to be the thing. What I'm trying to say is that the story was pretty much validated by Frank, and I'm sorry that you got popped, but that's what you get for bringing up my past and where I might have or might not have been arrested myself.
All right, but still, weren't you arrested in Newport Beach?
I'm not going to say. It's none of your business. I'm not talking about anything like that, and thank you very much.
Okay, that's a big yes.
Now, yeah, that's a yes.
Yep. No, no, it's not a yes. It's means we're moving on. Thank you very much for your attention. All right, folks, coming back here, the final quarter hour of our show, Chris Brown compares himself to guess who? Huh? I bet you it doesn't take a stretch. Who does Chris Brown and his hound, who does he think he is? Or who does he think he's like? Take a, you know, three guesses. The first two don't count. We'll be back with that story and more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Woo!
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Now, wait a minute. That's my wife you're talking about. He's lovely.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Right now we're in our loft set. You can see that.
That's lovely. I like the loft set.
The loft set there with the city behind us, and our we also have our DDR behind us, and that is a film made by Amanda Green of Miami. That's Miami. So we have L.A. behind this DDR of Miami, as you can see. Very gorgeous.
Yeah, play that with a Miami Vice theme.
You already did, man.
Yeah, that's a great idea, bud. All right, Chris Brown compares himself to Jesus Christ, and why not? Yes, following his brawl with Frank Ocean, I don't know if you heard about it, but Chris Brown, he's had a couple of fights now, man. He had one with Drake. Didn't he have one with Drake? Somebody had one with Drake, and he has, and now one with Frank Ocean. Chris Brown posted a photo on Instagram with the caption, "Painting the way I feel today, focus on what matters." Police say Brown is being investigated for an alleged assault after a fight involving six men erupted over a parking space outside an L.A. recording studio. The L.A. County Sheriff's Department says the altercation allegedly led to Chris Brown punching the victim. Ocean reportedly wants to press charges.
What was the picture?
I don't know, but apparently he crap-canned his Instagram account. And if he did, Chris Brown is now one of my heroes because, frankly, you know, Instagram, I'm getting tired of it.
That is, why are you saying that is sacrilege? You've got a lot of followers on Instagram.
Yeah, you do, Mr. Henry.
I'm very grateful for the followers I have on Instagram, but I'm telling you, I don't know why there is such a thing as Instagram. Most of the pictures, you know, a lot of them are great. A lot of them suck beyond words, including mine. I don't even know why I'm on the damn thing.
Well, then what do you mean yours suck? What, you're taking pictures, right?
Yeah, I take pictures and I put them on Instagram and I go back and I look at them and they blow.
Well, I'll hand you this, man. You're the first guy I've ever heard say that.
Yeah, most people think that their pictures is like, you know, belong in a museum or something.
Well, whatever, bud.
What do you mean in a museum, bud?
Everybody thinks their pictures is good.
Well, they may, but my pictures stink, you know. I put up pictures that I figure people will be interested in. I don't know how to take pictures. I mean, I know how to take pictures, but I'm not going to take pictures that are going to get 85 gazillion likes. The only pictures I know to put up are the ones I figure people like. So if I got a picture of myself with a celebrity, you know, if I got a picture of myself with, like, I had that one of Rebecca Romaine and me, and I got one of Judd Apatow and Albert Brooks, those pictures?
Well, the one of Albert Brooks was so bad, you didn't even post it.
Well, it was dark. But the point that I'm trying to make is that those are the only ones people are going to like. So I try to put those up there, but they suck. You know, I mean, all the other pictures I do suck that I take. So Instagram.
What about, like, I see people take pictures of birds and stuff.
Yeah, what about, like, a flower and a mountain and everything?
And the sunsets.
Oh, goody gumdrops. I mean, the sunsets, like, there's a million pictures of sunsets, and they're fine. And there's a million pictures of birds and mountains, and there's great pictures of... You know, the one thing on Instagram, and I do want to say this, and because, guys, I don't know what I'm talking about. You keep taking your pictures. I love them. I think they're great.
In other words, you're lying because you just said they suck.
No. I'm saying, to me, I don't get it. But what I'm trying to say is this. Don't ever take pictures of food because it looks like throw up.
Now, I got that one. That's true.
Yeah. If you take a picture of food and you put it on Instagram, it looks disgusting and vile. There's only a couple of shots. Like Johnny Bean puts pictures up there of In-N-Out Burger. That looks fantastic. You know why?
Why?
Because it's still in the wrapper. So it's there it is. There's the burger. But the people will put up pictures, look what I had for breakfast. And you'd swear to God it just sailed out of a bum's mouth on Skid Row.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
God, that sounds... Oh, my God.
Well, what is it? Blood and beef bourguignon? Oh.
Well, what is... I mean...
That was vile, Phil.
I'm telling you, people will put up a picture, breakfast, you know. Like I'm supposed to think it looks good? It maybe it did on the plate. I have no doubt. It probably tasted fantastic. But once you take a picture of it, and then they make the biggest mistake of all. They put it through those filters. There's like five or six different filters that Instagram has. Take a picture. I'm going to tell you this right now. Take a picture of, let's say, a Mexican scramble, like Chris Norton used to talk about, okay?
Yeah, Mexican scramble.
Exactly. Take a picture of that, then put it through one of Instagram's filters, and then go ahead and put it on Instagram, and it'll look like it came out of a cat's ass right onto the pavement.
Oh, my God. I
can't believe you did that, Mr. Henry.
God!
Well?
Mr. Henry, that's bad.
Well, I'm telling you. Go ahead. Go to Instagram and look at the food pictures. You can't take pictures of food and put them on Instagram. If you do, you'll put people off of their meals. I'm telling you, I only say that. And it doesn't... Now, you know who else takes pictures of food that looks good? I don't know what it is. Johnny Bean and his wife, Ruth. Both of you guys, every time you take pictures of food, it looks fantastic. Ruth will cook...
Now, that's Johnny Bean's wife.
Yes. And she will cook, like, lentil soups and all... And then she takes a picture of the... It's on the table, and it has the beautiful candles and the thing into that, right? And it looks really good, man, you know. And I don't know. She'll make this kind of, you know, food. But, see, she sets the shot up nice. Some people will just order up, like, a bean burrito and eat half of it and then let it kind of just sit on the plate. And they'll go, God, that is really good. I'm going to take a picture of it and let everybody know what I'm having for lunch. And they take a picture of it, and you don't know whether it's something that's supposed to go in or it just came out.
Wow! Wow!
Man, I was gonna have a snack after we got off the air. Forget it.
That was absolutely... What do you mean it looks like it just came out?
Well, I'm telling you. You know, go ahead. Go look at Instagram.
No, I don't think I will now.
I'm just saying, you know, if you're gonna take pictures of food, you gotta do it like Johnny's wife Ruth does. She sets it up so it's like a meal, you know, like there's the stew and there's the soup and there's the candles and there's the napkins and the whole thing looks really nice, you know, because I didn't want people to think not every picture of food looks terrible. It's the way you got to do it.
What's the way you can't do it? Take the aerial shot, you know.
What do you mean the aerial shot?
You never, ever, never, not never, ever take an aerial shot of the food on a plate.
An aerial shot?
Yeah.
What do you mean the aerial shot, man?
I mean up in the air, right over it.
Oh, yeah, when it's on the plate and you're standing over it, you mean?
Well, yeah, but it's kind of an aerial shot.
Not an aerial shot, man. I'm not taking it from an airplane.
Well, you could.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, sure. You could fly over a plate of food in an airplane. I mean, but the point is, you're saying straight down.
Yeah, don't ever take a picture of the food straight down because it'll look like it come out of a bum's, a bum's you know what.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh. I swear to God, when we get off the air, I'm going to retch for a half hour just to see if there's anything left.
just to see if maybe your lunch from yesterday will come up?
Yes.
All right, well, that's the show, folks. Awfully sorry. I'm still hungry. I don't know about anybody else. When I get off the air, I always have a healthy meal. Still doing my 2,000 calories a day. And by the way, Alex gave me a good tip today, you guys. You can average this out. That's what he does. I didn't know that. Alex does 1,600 calories a day, and he lifts weights. He's a maniac. But he said you can average it out over the week. If you average it out over the week and it comes to 2,000 a day, you're doing great. Or whatever your goal is. So if you're like me and you're a maniac and you hold to the 2,000 every day no matter what, you know, good luck. It's hard. It's really hard. And I was at 210. I'm back up to 220. So I got a long way to go, man, before I get back down to 200. But you know what? The summer is a long way off, baby. And by the time I get to summertime, it's going to look good. I'm going to look real good. Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And it is... it's online at philhendryshow.com. We invite you to join us at philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass and watch us mobile, baby, on your iPhone or your Droid and your iPad. Until tonight at 10, this is Phil Hendry along with Bud Dickman, Margaret Gray, and Robert Leonard saying, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.